Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, January 31st, 2022. Coming up this hour,
traders weigh the chance of a half percentage point rate hike in March.
The labor market comes into focus with this week's key jobs report.
Oil is on track for its best January in three decades.
And Joe Rogan apologizes after billions of dollars get wiped from Spotify's market value.
New York City will home deliver free COVID antiviral pills, plus North Korea confirms a test fired a mid-range ballistic missile over the weekend. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshower in sports. It'll be the Bengals and Rams playing Super Bowl 56 in L.A. A win for the Rangers. The Islanders lost.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Interactive Brokers. IBKR charges margin loan rates from 0.75 to 1.59%. Rates subject to change. Learn more at IBKR.com/compare.
S&P futures are little changed this morning. It's 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures again are little changed. Dow futures down 98. NASDAQ futures up 77. 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 1.78%, and the yield on the two-year 1.20%. Nathan.
Well, Karen, we begin this morning with the Fed and speculation about whether a rate hike in March could be bigger than initially expected. Let's get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. The Fed could raise the benchmark rate by 50 basis points if there's a need to be more aggressive on inflation. That's what Atlanta Fed President Rafael Bostic told the Financial Times, adding that all options are on the table for every Fed meeting if needed. But he stuck to his prediction that 3/4-point increases starting in March is the most likely scenario this year. Meantime, Goldman Sachs predicts the Fed will raise interest rates by 25 basis points. Five times this year. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Renita, thank you. As we spend the next 6 weeks reading tea leaves from the Fed, we'll get a concrete look at the labor market this Friday. The Fed and investors will be paying close attention to the January jobs report, and we get a preview from Bloomberg's Vinny Dalgiudice.
The data could provide insight on the highly contagious Omicron variant's impact on the economy. Economists are forecasting a tepid December increase, 175,000 or so, after November's weaker-than-forecast showing. Jobless claims jumped last month as COVID-19 forced businesses to close temporarily or throw in the towel after 2 years of pandemic turbulence. Vinny Dalgiudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. In Asia overnight, we got a tepid reading on the world's second largest economy. China's manufacturing sector expanded at a slower pace in January. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis has the details.
The official PMI declined to 50.1. That was just above the estimate of 50. The non-manufacturing gauge fell to 51.1, also just above the forecast. A number of issues here, a seasonal slowdown, COVID-19 outbreaks, and a weakening housing market. Also, the government ordered steel plants to cut output. That's to reduce air pollution ahead of the Winter Olympics. In the meantime, the Caixin PMI dropped to 49.1, and that was the worst in almost 2 years. Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Brian, thank you. In Europe, central banks and economic data are also in focus this week. We get a key rate decision by the Bank of England on Thursday. Let's go to London and get the latest with Bloomberg's Ewan Potts. Ewan.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. The UK could be heading for its first back-to-back rate hike in 17 years. Economists in Bloomberg's survey reckon the Bank of England will raise its key interest rate to 0.5% this week. Forecasters also expect the central bank to confirm it's stopped reinvesting in bonds that have matured. This comes as the Bank of England battles surging inflation, now at 5.4%, the highest in 30 years. In London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Ewan. Politics also center stage in Europe. After 6 days of voting in Italy's parliament, Sergio Mattarella has been re-elected president. We get the details from Bloomberg's Francine Lacqua in Rome.
After almost a week of failed votes to elect an alternative candidate, Sergio Mattarella was re-elected as Italy's president. Mario Draghi, the prime minister, was initially seen as a top contender for the job, and he made it clear he would be keen to become head of state. But lawmakers then feared a return to political turmoil without Draghi as prime minister. In the end, it was Draghi himself who asked Mattarella to remain in office, breaking the week-long stalemate. In Rome, Francine Lacqua, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Francine. Geopolitical tension in Eastern Europe is also on the agenda this week. The United Nations Security Council meets today regarding concerns about Russia invading Ukraine. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The Pentagon says Russia continues to build up troops on a day-to-day basis. U.S. Ambassador to the U.N. Linda Thomas-Greenfield says today is actually a chance for Russia.
Part of the reason we're calling for this meeting on Monday is one more opportunity to find a diplomatic way out for the Russians.
But she says the others are to talk further actions from sanctions to troop buildup and to see where other nations stand. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Ed. That tension over Ukraine, along with sustained global demand, is giving a lift to oil. Crude is on course for its best January in three decades. Checking prices now, NYMEX crude's up 0.9% at $87.60 a barrel. Brent is up 1.5% at $91.40.
On the corporate front this morning, Nathan, Spotify is in the spotlights. It's responding to controversy over COVID misinformation from Joe Rogan's podcast. We get the story from Bloomberg's Lisa Mateo.
In an Instagram video, Rogan apologized and pledged more balance and better research for his podcasts. The comments come after Spotify outlined steps it will take to halt the spread of misleading information about COVID. Rogan has hosted several outspoken skeptics of the vaccine. Last week, singers Neil Young and Joni Mitchell pulled their music from Spotify to protest Rogan. Almost $4 billion was wiped from Spotify's market value last week. Lisa Mateo, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And Lisa, Spotify wasn't the only stock to take a pounding last week. So did Robinhood. It dropped to a record low. And on Friday, Cathie Wood's ARK Investment Management bought nearly 2.5 million shares. Robinhood still trades 67% below its IPO price.
And Nathan, there's also a possible deal this morning. Bloomberg News has learned that Elliott Investment Management and Vista Equity are nearing an agreement to buy software maker Citrix Systems. The deal would value the company's equity at about $13 billion. And straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 6:07 on Wall Street. Another chilly morning in New York City. 20 degrees right now. Still dealing with a westbound accident on the Belt Parkway at JFK Airport. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with what else is going on in the city and around the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. New York City will provide free antiviral pills home delivered to people who test positive and are at higher risk from COVID-19. Mayor Eric Adams at a news conference yesterday in the Bronx says, "We want to make sure that no one with COVID has to move throughout the city."
New York is one of the only places in the nation where we are doing this free delivery.
Adams also shared the latest data on COVID rates in the city.
Hospitalizations are down, COVID deaths are down. And that is because of the hard work of everyday New Yorkers that are doing the right thing around vaccinations and booster shots.
Mayor Adams says the pills will be delivered in partnership with Alto Pharmacy. North Korea has confirmed it test-launched an intermediate-range ballistic missile capable of reaching the U.S. territory of Guam in its most significant launch in almost 5 years. North Korea said the test verified the accuracy of the Hwasong-12 missile. White House officials said North Korea's escalating provocations have become increasingly concerning. Chesley Christ, the 2019 winner of the Miss USA pageant and a correspondent for the entertainment news program Extra, has died. New York City police said Christ, who was 30, jumped from a Manhattan apartment building. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer of New York says he is pledging to push for $1.5 billion of the federal budget to go to the ATF to combat the interstate gun trade.
I'm going to ask them to direct that money to particularly go after gun trafficking, the iron pipeline, and a special task force that they have set up to deal with states that export guns.
Senator Schumer says the gun trade is responsible for 95% of the gun violence in New York. New York Republicans Nicole Meliotakis and Claudia Tenney would have to find a way to appeal to opposition party voters under a revamped congressional district plan The proposed map released Sunday is designed to maximize the prospects for Democrats ahead of the November election. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thank you. Almost 6:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
Thanks, Nathan. It'll be the Bengals and Rams, Super Bowl 56 in L.A. And if the game is anything like what we've seen the last two weekends, we'll have a close Super Bowl. The last six playoff games, five decided by 3 points and the other by six, and that went overtime. Two double-digit comebacks, another overtime in the conference championship. Cincinnati came from 18 down to win in Kansas City, 27-24 in OT. The Bengals led by their young quarterback, Joe Burrow, and their rookie kicker, Evan McPherson. Four field goals in all three of their playoff wins. No misses, 12-for-12, the one in OT, set up by an interception thrown by Patrick Mahomes. He came back to earth after last week's heroics, had a strong start yesterday, but Mahomes and the Chiefs denied a third straight AFC championship. The Rams, led by Matthew Stafford, rallied from 10 down in the fourth quarter. A touchdown, second of the game for Cooper Kupp, and then two field goals. They took the lead on the 49ers with under 2 minutes left and then sealed the victory.
Back to Garoppolo. Pocket crumbling. He spins out. He's hit. He's wrapped up. He flipped it forward. It's tipped. It's intercepted. It's intercepted. It's intercepted. Aaron Donald got pressure on Garoppolo, and Traven Howard clinches the NFC Championship game.
KLAA, the call. The Rams finally beat the Niners, who they had lost to six straight times, 20-17. Josh McDaniels leaving New England to be the head coach of the Raiders. The Giants will introduce their new coach, Brian Daboll, this morning. Rangers at the Garden avoided their first three-game losing streak. They scored final minute, beat the Seattle Kraken 3-2. The Islanders lost to Minnesota 4-3. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. Right now, S&P futures are down 3 points. Dow futures down 112. NASDAQ futures still on the rise. They're up 67 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 5/32. The yield, 1.78%. The yield on the two-year right now, 1.20%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 1130 weather, sunny with a high near 30 today. Mostly sunny, mid-30s tomorrow. Mostly cloudy by Wednesday with highs near 45 degrees. Currently 20 under a clear sky in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks on the rise this morning. U.S. stock index futures are mixed as investors bet corporate earnings will continue to grow amid aggressive tightening by the Fed. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day. On Bloomberg, S&P futures lower, down 6 points. Dow futures down 137. NASDAQ futures up 65. The DAX in Germany is up 0.6%. 10-year Treasury down 5/32, yield 1.78%. The yield on the two-year, 1.20%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.9% or 76 cents at $87.58 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.3% or $5.70 at $17.92.30 an ounce. The euro 1.1162 against the dollar, British pound 1.3432, and the yen's at 115.50. Bitcoin this morning moving lower at $37,240. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. The UN Security Council is scheduled to meet today for the first time on Russia's troop buildup and threatening actions against Ukraine. The meeting is at the request of the United States. A new ABC News Ipsos poll shows that three-quarters of Americans want President Biden to consider all possible nominees for the next Supreme Court nominee, regardless of race or gender. Biden pledged to nominate a black woman to replace outgoing Justice Stephen Breyer. It will be the Bengals versus the Rams in the Super Bowl. Cincinnati beat the Chiefs 27-24 in OT to win the AFC. The Rams beat the 49ers 20-17 for the NFC title. In the NHL, the Rangers won. The Islanders and Bruins lost. In tennis, Rafael Nadal has won a men's record 21st Grand Slam singles title in the Australian Open. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. It's 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Watching a red headline cross the Bloomberg terminal, UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson has received a civil servant's report into the so-called Partygate scandal, allegations that a number of parties were held inside Boris Johnson's offices during the early part of the pandemic when the UK was under lockdown. Prime Minister Johnson's expected to make a statement to the House of Commons later today. Of course, we'll continue following all those developments here for you on Bloomberg Radio. We want to get the latest on the pandemic itself now, where some of the biggest developments have been as much on coronavirus information as they have on the pandemic itself. Joining us now, Professor Gigi Granvall with the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. Very interesting to see these developments around sort of the government response more broadly to the pandemic early on. And of course, this controversy over the weekend around Joe Rogan's podcast. The podcaster has apologized now, says he's going to have more sources on with different types of information about the pandemic. He's been accused, of course, of passing along COVID misinformation. From a public health perspective, though, I'm curious about what the impact of podcasts like Rogan's have been when it comes to battling the pandemic itself, Professor.
Yeah, it's very discouraging because right now for most people, for most healthy people, COVID is a vaccine-preventable disease. And more people have died, hundreds of thousands of people have died in this country since vaccines have been available. So it's hard to reach people to give them the right information about the vaccine and why it could save their lives. But it's even harder when you have people who are actively countering that information.
We've heard from the CEO of Spotify. He says that they're going to direct people to different types of content, more factual content, and put up sort of disclaimers around podcasts like Rogan's. It's sort of a similar tack that Facebook and other social media platforms have taken when it comes to misinformation. Do you think stances like that help?
I mean, it definitely helps, but you have to shut the poison off at the source. You know, it's contaminating the discourse, and we need to have a lot more of the right information, the correct information, so that people can make an informed decision. It's I think, you know, every little bit helps, but I don't think that the steps that Facebook or Spotify are taking are going to be sufficient. And there's a lot more money on that side, the raising questions, raising doubts, and taking shots at the effectiveness of the vaccine than there is money on the promotion of the vaccine. And that's always been the case.
So how do you sort of balance things out better when, as you mentioned, there is this sort of imbalance when it comes to the resources behind the information?
Well, part of this is that people need to realize that they have a role to play here. These people like Joe Rogan don't come about by accident. The people need to take responsibility for what is on their stations and what kind of messages they're sending. A lot of news organizations, they require their employees to be vaccinated, but yet they go around, these vaccinated people turn around and then talk to their audiences as if the vaccines are not effective. It's really disingenuous, and it kind of, I know why they do it, because there's money in it, but it's still wrong.
We have about a minute left here. Where would you say we are in terms of getting the pandemic under control? The ongoing debate about whether we can sort of think about COVID as being more endemic than a pandemic. Are we getting close to that point?
It's definitely two worlds here, because for many people like myself, like you, I'm sure you're vaccinated, you're boosted. If your children are eligible, they're vaccinated. My 14-year-old is already boosted. This is we've done what we can, and there are drugs on the horizon that will help. But hospitals are still getting crushed by unvaccinated people at their door and requiring a lot of intensive care. So we are definitely in two different worlds right now. Hopefully things will get better soon.
Yeah, that is obviously the hope. And thanks for the Solid information, as always. Professor Gigi Granval with the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, supported by Michael Bloomberg, the founder and majority owner of Bloomberg LP. That's the parent company of Bloomberg Radio. Taking a look at markets on this final trading day of January. Mixed action. S&P futures down 8. Dow futures down 147 points. NASDAQ futures are higher by 53. Stay with us. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Sunshine, a high near 30 today. Mid-30s, mostly sunny tomorrow. We'll be in the mid-40s, mostly cloudy by Wednesday. Right now, clear and 20 degrees. 2-0 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things you need to know to start your day. Brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Investment advisors switch to Interactive Brokers for lowest cost global trading and turnkey custody solutions. No ticket charges and no conflicts of your interest at ibkr.com/RIA. Up first, S&P futures are lower this morning as we close out the volatile trading month of January. Despite Friday's rally, the S&P 500 is down 7% so far this month. Tech-heavy NASDAQ is off by 12%. Oil is up 16% and on track for its best January in three decades.
Well, Karen, the pullback in risk assets comes as the Fed turns hawkish, and now there's speculation about whether a rate hike in March could be bigger than initially expected. Let's get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. The Fed could raise the benchmark rate by 50 basis points if there's a need to be more aggressive on inflation. That's what Atlanta Fed President Rafael Bostic told the Financial Times, and he stuck to his prediction that 3/4-point increases starting in March is the most likely scenario. Meantime, Goldman Sachs predicts the Fed will raise interest rates by 25 basis points 5 times this year. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Renita, thank you. Interest rates are also in focus in Europe. According to a Bloomberg survey of economists, the Bank of England will raise interest rates to 0.5% on Thursday. That would complete the first back-to-back rate hikes in 18 years.
Well, politics are also front and center in Europe, Karen. After 6 days of voting in Italy's parliament, Sergio Mattarella has been reelected president and will remain in office for another term. We get the details from Bloomberg's Francine Lacqua in Rome.
Mario Draghi, the prime minister, was initially seen as a top contender for the job, but lawmakers then feared a return to political turmoil without Draghi as prime minister. In the end, it was Draghi himself who asked Mattarella to remain in office, breaking the week-long stalemate. The outcome could also provide relief to investors, as it reduces the chances of early elections and will let Draghi press ahead with his reform agenda until the next election, due in 2023. In Rome, Francine Lacqua, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Francine, thank you. And we also have a possible deal to tell you about this morning. Bloomberg News has learned that Elliott Investment Management and Vista Equity are nearing an agreement to buy software maker Citrix Systems. The deal would value the company's equity at about $13 billion. The takeover could be announced as soon as today. And that's the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 6:33 on Wall Street. We're 20 degrees in Central Park, dealing with big delays on southbound FDR Drive with an accident by 63rd. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York City Mayor Eric Adams says free COVID antiviral pills are going out in the mail to eligible residents. The goal of the new program is to keep sick people home rather than inside crowded stores.
We have the highest vaccination rate in the nation.
Also speaking with Mayor Adams at the news conference in the Bronx, NYC Health Commissioner Dave Chotsky.
Taken together, all of these tools help us defang the virus, keeping our loved ones out of the hospital and saving lives.
He says the city already offers free at-home vaccinations. Dr. Chosky says the pills will be delivered in partnership with Alto Pharmacy. Foreign Relations Committee Chair Bob Menendez says U.S. senators are close to agreeing on a Russia sanctions bill that could include penalties even if President Vladimir Putin doesn't send troops into Ukraine. It comes as the U.N. Security Council is scheduled to meet today for the first time on Russia's troop buildup and threatening actions against Ukraine at the request of the United States. The Biden administration reiterated that it is ready to hold talks with North Korea without preconditions a day after Kim Jong-un's regime fired an intermediate-range ballistic missile for the first time since 2017. A senior administration official described North Korea's recent series of missile launches as destabilizing. Republican Senator Susan Collins of Maine says former President Donald Trump should not have promised to pardon January 6th insurrectionists. Collins was also asked whether she would endorse Trump if he decided to run again in 2024.
Well, certainly it's not likely, given the many other qualified candidates that we have that have expressed interest in running.
Senator Collins spoke on ABC's This Week, which can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg. Testimony will resume for a second week as the federal trial continues for three former Minneapolis police officers charged with violating George Floyd's civil rights. Actor Howard Hessman, best known for his role as radio DJ Dr. Johnny Fever on the sitcom WKRP in Cincinnati, has died over the weekend in Los Angeles at age 81. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Yeah, a lot of radio people feeling that loss for sure. Thank you, Michael. Almost 6:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Speaking of radio people, here's John Stanshaw.
Yeah, Nathan, kind of an unlikely Super Bowl matchup. The Bengals, until this month, had not won a playoff game in 31 years. They had never won one on the road. They've never won a Super Bowl. The Rams have only won one. That was when they played in St. Louis. But the Bengals and Rams both coming from behind. They both won by three. They'll meet in 2 weeks in L.A. So after 54 Super Bowls without a team playing in its home stadium, it'll happen the second straight year. Rams have made a 3.5-point favorite. They trailed the 49ers by 10 in the fourth quarter. They rallied to win 20-17. Matthew Stafford's third playoff win after having not won any previously in his career. Big games catching passes for both Cooper Kupp and Odell Beckham. The Bengals trailed in Kansas City 21-3, but the Chiefs, who scored touchdowns on their first three possessions, did not score one in any of their last eight. And Cincinnati went ahead with 21 points in a row. KC forced overtime, but Patrick Mahomes' second interception led to the end.
Evan McPherson could send him to the Super Bowl.
4 years ago, he was a senior in high school in tiny Fort Payne, Alabama. Now the Bengals' Super Bowl chances rest on his right foot. The kick is up.
Yeah.
Hit.
Yeah.
Good. Coffin nails.
Bam, bam, bam. That is unbelievable.
It's WLW. Cincinnati won 27-24, just six wins over their previous two seasons. The odds on them reaching the Super Bowl were once 125-1. Rangers got a goal final minute from Keandre Miller, beat the Seattle Kraken at the Garden 3-2. Islanders lost to Minnesota 4-3. Former Met reliever Jeff Innes has died of cancer. He was 59. John Stashauer, Bloomberg Sports.
Okay, John, thanks. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks and some of the names moving in the pre-market. Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta joins us, getting ready for this final trading day of January. What a month it has been, Kriti.
It has been a month, a year, an eternity, it seems like, when it comes to the markets. But nevertheless, we do have some news this morning that could perhaps shake things up in what seems like kind of a relatively calm morning. I'm going to start off here with a company called Citrix Systems. CTXS is your ticker. Down just shy of 4% after Elliott Investment Management and Vista Equity Partners are nearing an agreement to acquire the software maker for about $13 billion. For those of you who aren't familiar, Citrix makes software that workers use to log on to their corporate programs virtually. This is something that was really relied upon during the pandemic as people went remote. So why is the stock down just shy of 4% as you see this potential deal news, this huge investment to the tune of $13 billion? Well, it's because the price is at about $104 per share. For context, Nathan, Citrix closed at $105.55 yesterday. So there is no premium here that can kind of help with that traditional acquisition arbitrage.
Interesting. Now, as you know, Creedy, there was a lot of focus on Spotify over the weekend, and now it looks like the stock has analysts' attention.
Yeah, the analysts getting really busy when it comes to whether Netflix is a buy, a sell, or do you just stay on the sidelines with this call? But Citi coming out and actually raising their recommendation on not just Netflix, but Spotify too, to a buy from a neutral. This comes after, of course, pressure on subscription-based stocks broadly. The analyst says that they both only may see modest subscriber growth, but Netflix has pricing power and Spotify can improve its ad-supported monetization. It's all about the bucks they can make off of it. NFLX is your ticker for Netflix, up 2.5% off the recommendation. And Spotify, SPOT, is your ticker there, up 1.2%. And Nathan, speaking of those analyst upgrades, we should talk about Tesla because, you know, we've gone a whole 24 hours without doing that. TSLA, I know, scandal. TSLA is your ticker, up just shy of 2%. This comes after Credit Suisse upgrades the EV maker to an outperform following a sharp pullback and, quote, highly favorable fundamentals, really calling for that buy the dip mentality here, Nathan.
All right. Bloomberg Radio and TV markets correspondent Kriti Gupta getting us ready for the final trading day of January as we take a look at markets as a whole this morning. It is mixed action with S&P futures now down almost 10 points, Dow futures down 170, NASDAQ futures are higher still, they're up 50 points. The 10-year Treasury right now down 4/32, the yield 1.78%, yield on the 2-year 1.20%. Still watching crude, it is surging this morning with NYMEX crude up 0.6% at $87.33 a barrel, Brent up 1.2% up $1.11.91.14 for a barrel of the international benchmark. We'll get an update from the nation's capital next with Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins. Russia and the U.S. get ready to come to a head at the U.N. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, sunshine near 30 for a high today, mid-30s tomorrow, mostly cloudy mid-40s for Wednesday. Right now, clear sky, 20 degrees in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures are mixed this morning. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are trading mixed right now, with Dow futures down 173 points. S&P's dropped 10, while the NASDAQ futures are higher by 50. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.78%. Gold is little changed. Oil is in the green, but Bitcoin is trading lower by 1.6%. Japan rose 1.1% overnight, while European markets are also trading mixed this morning. And back in the U.S., on the economic front at 9:45, Chicago PMI, and at 10:30, the Dallas Fed. Regarding earnings this morning, L3 missed estimates. And in deal news, Citrix is close to a sale to Elliott and Vista for $104 a share. And Walgreens is said to have kicked off the sales process for its Boots unit. In other news, Kathy Wood bought nearly 2.44 million shares of Robinhood on Friday. And wrapping things up, Beyond Meat was raised to overweight at Barclays. Kellogg cut to market perform at BMO. And Tesla was raised to outperform over at Credit Suisse. Live from the First Alert Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Russia has more than 100,000 troops near its border with Ukraine. Today, the United Nations Security Council meets to discuss the situation and what could happen next. North Korea confirms it test-fired a mid-range ballistic missile yesterday. U.S. officials are condemning the biggest missile test by North Korea since 2017. It will be the Bengals versus the Rams in the Super Bowl on February 13th. Cincinnati beat the Chiefs 27-24 in overtime to win the AFC. The Rams beat the 49ers 20-17 for the NFC title. In the NHL, the Rangers won. The Islanders and Bruins lost. In tennis, Rafael Nadal has won a men's record 21st Grand Slam single in the Australian Open final. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
How U.S. income tax policy became mostly about the 1%. I'm Justin Fox, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Federal income tax rates have fallen since 2001 for all income groups reported by the IRS. Those from the 50th to 60th percentiles saw the biggest reduction, 2.4 percentage points, while those in the top 1,000th of 1% got the smallest, 1.1. Despite ending up pretty much where they started, the very highest earners had an eventful couple of tax decades. The Republican tax cuts of the early 2000s gave them huge breaks, most of which expired in 2013. The 2017 tax bill was kindest to those just below the top 1%, who, because of the alternative minimum tax, had actually seen their taxes rise until then. Now, the Democrats want to raise new revenue, but not increase the taxes of anyone outside the 1%. I'm Justin Fox. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time, and terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. 6:50 on Wall Street. We turn to news and science and technology now with a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, transforming computing professionals into data scientists to meet demand in this fast-growing field. Learn more at njit.edu/data science. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. New York City will provide free antiviral pills home delivered to people who test positive and are at higher risk for COVID-19. City Hall says both oral antiviral medications approved by the FDA from Pfizer and Merck will be available, though in limited quantities. Hong Kong has never been closer to losing its COVID-zero battle. As residents prepare for another Chinese New Year under COVID restrictions, Omicron seems to have gotten the better of the city's defenses with a record number of new and untraceable infections. Though the city has beaten back four previous waves of infection, returning to no COVID cases will be much harder this time, given it's facing Omicron, the most infectious and immune-evasive of variants. And federal safety regulators say they have cleared the way for Verizon and AT&T to power up more towers for new 5G service without causing radio interference with airplanes. The FAA's move will let the companies activate 5G cell towers closer to airports without hindering the ability of planes to land during poor weather. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
Thanks, Karen. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:52 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include the Senate getting close to a sanctions deal against Russia as the Pentagon tracks even more troop movement near Ukraine. Pentagon spokesman John Kirby was on Fox News Sunday.
He has a lot of options. He, Putin, has a lot of options available to him if he wants to further invade Ukraine, and he can execute some of those options imminently.
But when it comes to America's sanctions options, Undersecretary of State Victoria Nuland says the White House doesn't want to put all its cards on the table.
Deterrence is best when there's a little bit of strategic ambiguity around exactly what we are going to do.
Undersecretary Nuland was on CBS's Face the Nation. Also making news, Republican Senator Susan Collins accusing President Biden of mishandling Justice Stephen Breyer's retirement by promising a black woman will succeed him on the Supreme Court.
The way that the president has handled this nomination has been clumsy at best. It adds to the further perception that the court is a political institution like Congress when it is not supposed to be.
Senator Collins was on ABC's This Week, and fellow Republican Lindsey Graham is calling out former President Donald Trump for saying he would pardon January 6th rioters.
I don't want to send any signal that it was okay to defile our Capitol. There are other groups with causes that may want to go down the violent path if these people get pardoned.
Senator Graham was on Face the Nation, which can be heard every Sunday here on Bloomberg Radio, along with This Week and Fox News Sunday. Let's get more now on this Monday morning from Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins joining us from the nation's capital. Starting off with the latest on what's happening between the U.S. and Russia, Emily, there's going to be a U.N. Security Council meeting on the movements near Ukraine today.
Yes, there is going to be a meeting, and we are seeing movement from the U.S. lawmakers on agreeing to a Russia sanctions bill that can include penalties on Vladimir Putin, even if he doesn't send troops into Ukraine. There would be one set, if this legislation passes, one set of sanctions that would go in place prior to any sort of invasion for what Putin has already done. And then there would be a second set of sanctions should Putin actually invade Ukraine. And details have been light on exactly what these sanctions would be. We know that lawmakers have been considering a number of different financial and personal sanctions. But top officials in Congress and at the White House say that they aren't trying to detail exactly what is in the bill because having this element of surprise is part of their strategy. Meanwhile, we are going to be looking towards the UN Security Council meeting on Monday, as well as what other European nations might agree to in terms of sanctions, in addition to what the U.S. Congress is looking at.
Yeah, we'll certainly be watching that as well. And we're watching developments around the Supreme Court with President Biden getting ready to name his choice to succeed retiring Justice Stephen Breyer. We already know it's going to be a black woman, and that's leading to some consternation among some Republicans.
Well, I think for the black woman, I mean, Republicans are, no one's come out and said that they are opposing a black woman. But what you heard was Susan Collins come out and say that she felt like Biden was making this too political to have announced during his campaign that he was going to appoint a black female to the court. She's called that clumsy on TV this past week. She said she would potentially be open to whoever Biden would nominate. The reason that Susan Collins is key here, I mean, Democrats really only need every Democrat to vote for the nominee, so they don't necessarily need Susan Collins' support. But what the Biden White House is hoping for here is that their pick can be bipartisan. And one of the individuals that they are considering for the role, Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson, Susan Collins actually did vote for her to be on the D.C. Court of Appeals in June of last year. And so Collins is definitely one of several senators who the White House is going to be looking to in hopes that they will support whoever they pick.
Only about a minute left here, Emily, but with Congress coming back from recess, where are we on Build Back Better negotiations?
So Build Back Better is something that's still being worked on. There are still discussions going on about it, but it's really in the background right now. We obviously had the big push on voting rights before lawmakers left for the past week. And we're also seeing a lot of movement on the U.S.-China competition bill, which is something lawmakers really want to get a move on. They'd like to have something big done for President Biden to tout in his March 1st State of the Union speech. That's not a formal deadline, just a nice one that they would like to have. And at this point, you know, there is some movement on Build Back Better, but there's nothing very clear as far as actual formal negotiations. Joe Manchin has said that they are going to have to start from scratch on this one. And there's a lot of questions about exactly what legislation is going to be looking like.
All right. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins keeping on top of all that's happening in the nation's capital. Thanks, as always. And you can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Getting you set for the final trading day of the month of January. Futures are mixed, with S&P futures now down 6 points, Dow futures down 146, NASDAQ futures higher by 61 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 4/32, the yield 1.78%. Bitcoin lower on the session, $37,300. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg.